Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and good afternoon, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is West Side Visions, and I am Brother Tony Bullock, and we are coming to you live in beautiful downtown Fresno, California. Me and my co-host, Sister Eileen Reed, who will be joining us shortly. With a wrap up of today and everything that has come in the past couple of days and over the week. So again, we welcome you. So come on in and sit back and get ready to hang with us and see how things are going. Sister Reed, are you there? Sister Reed, are you with us?
Yes, how you doing?
I am fine. And yourself?
I'm hanging in there. I've been thinking about tonight's roundtable, and wherever you want to start is cool with me because I've been shaking my head for three quarters of the day. About so I have, because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah, so much going on, and it's like, you know, when you said you were shaking your head, I had to laugh because I've been right there with you. And let me start off with this. Today is what, July 6th?
Yeah.
Yep, all right, today July. Is July 6th. Is it? Yeah. I do believe the 4th. Yeah, today is. And in this time frame, since July 1st, we've had 16 mass shootings with 15 people getting killed and 100 being injured.
Wow.
And we have now reached a total of 346 mass shootings since the beginning of the year.
And it's only July, the start of July.
And it's only July. And that is not only sad, but that's scary. That's, oh, man, you know, we are a pitiful nation.
It's true. And isn't it unfortunate that a so-called civilized nation, the people in it have to resort to violence instead of sitting down and talking about their problems. And this violence streak, I mean, I'm trying to remember the person that said, I think it was Malcolm that said, violence was American as apple pie. Well, he was right. And the scary part about it is, it's like, okay, if there is violence that's prevalent in this country, then where do Black people fall in that? We are both, what, victims and alleged perpetrators? I mean, this is a frightening time for us on so many counts. And I'm shaking my head. I'm shaking my head.
You know, I read that earlier today, and I was like you. I was just like, wow, you know, this can't be true. This cannot be happening. But then again, like you just said, Brother Malcolm had said, violence in America was just like apple pie. And it is sad that we live in a country that is so in love with the gun and violence, that it doesn't want to do anything reasonable to make it safer, not only for citizens, but for the children.
Absolutely.
Always tend to be a victim somehow.
Yes, there was a shooting here in Fresno. They're saying Southwest Fresno, but I didn't verify that, where a nine-month-old baby and two women got shot. And I do believe that was on the 4th. They were outside their house, and somebody drove by and shot them. So,
yeah, here in Fresno on the 4th, apparently not only was the fire department very busy, but so was Fresno PD. And, they like to say the Southwest, but a lot of that area is more towards downtown. At the beginning of the east right there by Belmont, by the train tracks, and where Blackstone runs heading back towards downtown, that area near Botch Avenue. So that's more, that's not the Southwest or the West Side. That's more heading east.
Right. Right.
But yeah, it's only funny that they want to, that was in the Southwest all, but they had some shootings out in the Northwest too.
Oh, I'm sure they did. I wasn't just looking. I just happened to see that this afternoon. I didn't know anybody had got shot supposedly over here. But you know what this brings to mind for me, Brother Tony, is the older black woman that got knocked to the ground. You were talking about this Tuesday by the police officer in L.A. County. I believe that was in Lancaster.
That was in Lancaster.
And it was in Lancaster. And it, all of this for supposedly a minor infraction, a minor robbery. There was a cake that was supposedly stolen, one of those tiny little cakes that you can get for $6. And it just so happened that somebody caught all of this on, video. Thank goodness. I mean, I'm yelling at my phone, Brother Tony, because this cop is telling her, well, put your hands behind your back. How could she do that? He had one of her arms and the other one, he's sitting on her back. She couldn't move her arm. He pepper sprays her, and she had just had surgery for cancer of the eye. So
yeah.
I'm like, okay, so if law enforcement is doing all this, what do they expect from regular everyday citizens? I mean, higher standards.
I had watched that myself Wednesday, and it really just threw me for a loop because she's filming this police officer handcuffing her husband, and all of a sudden his partner just runs up and launches himself into her and slams her. And then wants to scream. Now he's trying to push this narrative of he was being attacked. No, you were doing the attacking.
That's right.
And like you said, it was a good thing that some citizen sitting in their car was filming this lady, filming her husband being arrested. And I noticed the whole time during this filming, you didn't see no cake anywhere.
Right.
And just because somebody at Winco goes, somebody black stole a cake, they automatically roll up and attack these two older citizens.
Exactly.
But
and she had great hair, so yeah, you could tell that she was a an older woman. I don't know if she was a senior, but she was older, and
yes.
I mean, and had eye surgery not too long, and she's telling him, "I can't see. I need my prescription glasses. I can't see what you're talking about. I didn't do anything." I mean, Brother Tony, I want to read you something. I was looking online about what it is to be black in America. And this is something that a 39-year-old in Texas said. He says, to be black in America, you have to endure white supremacy. You have to fear the police. To be an American, you have the luxury of saying they should have complied. To be black in America, you have to hope that someone recorded your compliance because you no longer may be around to defend yourself. Now, wow. Isn't that something?
I mean,
it just so happened that this sister had somebody to record it for her, but what if she hadn't?
You know, and that's the whole thing. It's not that she had someone recording it, but now we live in a society where every phone has a camera on it that records.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody sitting there just happened to notice something about this entire situation is not right. And I'm quite sure that person wasn't the only one recording.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, it is sad that as black folks, this is how we have to live. I remember when I was the assistant terminal manager of Las Vegas Greyhound, I'm coming home one night, and this was during the wintertime when we used to close the station at 1 a.m. So by the time we got closed, cleaned up, I'm heading home. It's about 2:30 in the morning. So as I'm coming up the hill to the light, I get pulled over. It's highway patrolman. And he wants to know where I'm going. I say, well, I'm on my way home, and I'm looking at his face, and I know who he is. He lives right around the corner from me. Then as I get closer, he realizes who I am, and he goes, oh, hey, I'm sorry. I just thought, you know, you didn't thought. You just ran a tag, pulled a man over for a black man as you walked up and got ready to do what y'all do. I think I'm watch captain in the morning.
See.
But this is how it is to be black in America. This happens. And I see that we also got a caller right now. In fact, we got two callers right now. Let's see what's going on.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, caller 4756. This is
Westside
Business Talk speaking with James.
Yes, I'm calling from New Orleans, and I'm enjoying so far. I was looking on I have a show on Blog Talk myself called New Orleans Wake Up, and I go by the name Brother Warren, and I'm in
right,
here
Brother
cooking.
Warren, and your show is called what? Say that again.
New Orleans Wake Up.
New Orleans
All
Wake
right.
Up.
We will
definitely
shout you out and put you out there.
Yeah, and basically what I wanted to contribute, because what I'm doing is I'm cooking and preparing stuff for a family event this weekend, so I'm doing some of the cooking while I'm listening. But I want to say this as I continue to listen and finish.
Sure.
The intensity we're going to see of this, in other words, if you remember historically during Reconstruction, the Reconstruction period was the time where blacks were allowed to enjoy some of the rights they had not been as enslaved persons. But what the Southern whites did was the Southern whites regrouped, and they pretty much by the 1900s, all of the gains blacks had made during between 1865 and 1880s were put back. What you're seeing now, as the United States loses its influence globally, in other words, the United States cannot beat Russia or China. Therefore, domestically, number two, all of the industrial jobs that this country had when we were coming up, they ain't coming back. So the angry white masses have to have something to chew and feast on, because those jobs ain't coming back. And so what is happening is you're going to see I was listening to one report, one state, they're going to go after minority scholarships. And this Ohio Republican senator is going to be investigating all of the comments that college presidents made after the Supreme Court decision striking down affirmative action came, and the college presidents expressed that they were going to still work for diversity. Well, his thing is he's going to see if they follow the law, that is, not to use race as a factor. So they're going to strip. They're going to be coming to strip black people, even to the point where they're going to be advocating no more HBCUs. Why?
Right.
Because the U.S. no longer has global influence. It cannot beat Russia. It cannot beat China. It's driving them crazy. And so they're going to vent that out on the African-American population by exerting a dominance over us as they need to for their psychological sanity.
I haven't, you know what, brother, you're absolutely right in that statement. And if you remember, I think it was around the 1920s when the KKK was at its strongest, when they had their march on Washington. Mm-hmm. And every time they saw significant black progress, they had something to say about it. So this is not unusual. This is not some sort of political anomaly. We know that when so-called white America is in a vulnerable position, that they always strike out at who they see as so-called minority. So you're absolutely right about that.
And two more points. The relationship that we have had with the Democratic Party in terms of civil rights protections, that relationship is gone, yo. That is finished. A lot of these judgments against the rights we've gained during the 60s have happened under Democratic presidents. When President Obama was president, they took out the preclearance clause of the Voting Rights Act. They said, well, there was no more need for it because blacks were the largest to come out in the 2012 election. Now, my point is this. We have gotten so drunk on celebrating the first black this and the first black that, that's not a plan. That's not preparation for this type of stuff. So now we're caught naked. And these people always plan about how they're going to come back. We have been overdosing on black girl magic, first black this, first black that, and no plan about how that will protect us from the type of movement these people are coming back on. And remember, different generations born since the 60s. So a lot of black people don't know about this type of behavior. It catches us off guard, and it shouldn't be this way.
Correct. You are correct.
Thank you. And it's funny you say that,
Brother Warren, because, you know, I have said many times myself on this show, we get hung up on the first black this or that, but no matter what, Republicans, right-wing folks do, no matter how they argue, they still work together at keeping us and other minorities down. Now, as you notice, one of the things that happened with stripping back affirmative action, they went out there and found that one Oriental that was willing to work with them, even though he came from Canada, to go out there and be the face and say, yes, we're losing because black people are the problem, and they're getting everything.
But what happens when
those chickens come home to roost and they come back for them? They're going to want our help again, and we won't be there.
Well, a lot of Asian Americans have come out and spoken against that guy in the perception that's being tainted that Asian Americans are getting, because this is the point what whites have to do. They're going to use us against each other. So just as you have some black people in that conservative movement, they're going to use some Hispanics, they're going to use some Asians, they're going to do this. And so we have to be careful not to make a judgment on a whole group based off the hand-picked people they got to represent their interests.
I agree with you, brother. I think, and Brother Tony and I have talked about this on the show, and I know that I have said this more than once. People of color, I like to say black people. I don't really like that term, people of color, but these minority groups that they're talking about, we all going to have to start growing together, because this is going to get real serious real soon, and people forget that these conservatives of the GOP and other stripes, these ultra-conservative people, they started having think tanks in the early 80s to figure out what they were going to do in the strategy for America.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was right after the end of the Nixon era, and they needed to regroup and decide how they were going to do their futures. Well, you know what? Black folks need to be doing the same thing. Now, people talk about a black agenda. We need to be ready and not always having to get ready. And if we follow the lead of some of our elders, our grandparents and our great-grandparents, we would be ready with the things we need to do. HBCs, they're going to have to double down. They already know that what they're going to need to do. And, you know, this is where we're going to have to draw the line about how much we're going to take. So let me
get back to the slide
for a minute, but I had to put that out there that we need a game plan. We need a black agenda that goes across America, and all these other minorities, as the white folks say, need to be rowing with us in the same direction, because we're going to have to work together for this. Yes, indeed.
Well,
very much so.
I know one thing. One of the things that have these people going really crazy is the fact that China pretty much has already, the Chinese economy has pretty much surpassed the United States economy. And China is the center of manufacturing in the world. The U.S. cannot compete. And that's why the U.S. is involved in wars, instigating wars, sending arms to people, because it has no more soft power. And so because the Chinese are non-white people, it is really messing with their sense of themselves as being a superior race, these white people.
Yeah.
And so when they look at us, it's kind of like a man goes out and he recognizes he's not doing well on the job, he's not getting along with his boss, but he comes back in the house and beats up on his wife and children. And it's kind of how these folks see us. They see us as something to beat up on.
Brother Warren, let me ask you something. What do you think, and Brother Tony, please comment on this as well. What do you think about the fact that China has exerted all this soft power in Africa? Now, I've heard that some white people think, oh, they're doing a great thing with this infrastructure, but nobody does anything for nothing. So I wanted to get your opinion, brother, about what you think about all this Chinese investment in the African continent.
Every year I go to Africa. In fact, the whole month of August I'll be in Zambia, South Africa, and Namibia. Let me tell you this. China has never colonized Africa, number one. Number two, if you go to Africa and talk to the people and you see what the Chinese are building, they're building roads, bridges, hospitals, schools, stuff that the former colonies like France, Great Britain, and even the United States have not done. All they do is put these countries into debt with the IMF. That propaganda is coming from the West. That is anti-Chinese propaganda. They're projecting on China what they have done and what they do. The African countries work with China. China does not have an imperialistic spirit. They want to be economically successful. So they realize in order for that to happen, they have to be stability everywhere. They have this concept called the Belt and Road Initiative, where they're going across the world and investing in infrastructure. They're not dropping bombs. They're not going into countries and taking one side over the other side politically and got them fighting the way Western Europe and the U.S. is doing. So the answer to your question, that is complete Western propaganda.
I've heard that the Chinese are building their own enclaves, their own cities, because they don't really want to be hanging too much with African people. So if that's wrong, please enlighten me.
Chinese people have always been a little xenophobic. Wherever you go, they hang with themselves. That's not a problem, okay? But when you look at the investment in the infrastructure that they're doing, all France has done was rob African countries. All Great Britain has done was rob in the U.S. So the alternative for Africa, they're looking at China. They say, hell, We're getting roads, we're getting bridges. The U.S. and the rest of Europe is doing nothing but causing wars. They got us in debt that we can't pay back. And so, again, I want to say, sister, that stuff about China is complete information warfare to get black people to look at China and accuse China of doing stuff that the West has been doing to Africa. It's called projection.
Well,
they got African students in China who are progressing. In fact, one young lady from Nigeria was the valedictorian of this one university in the city of Chinchong. She was the valedictorian and giving her graduation speech in Chinese.
That's wonderful.
This is the world. The world is going this way. People are leaving from the U.S. and Western Europe. They are a dying monster. It's a sinking ship.
That's one of the things that does happen, because I have a cousin who teaches dance, and that's where he is right now. He is in China, and he goes every year. And one of the things that I've discussed with him is, why are the Chinese so big on hip-hop culture? Now, this is nothing new for them. They've been doing this for the last 15, 20 years. But as we talk, I come to find out, he said, you know, they welcome our culture. He said, and this thing about, you know, they're anti-American, he said, it's not that they're anti-American. He said, it's like anywhere else black America goes, we're always welcome. He says, and you're going to find out they're going to take time with you. They will teach you their culture. They will learn your culture. And like you just said, brother, you got sisters over there speaking in fluent Chinese. Well, yeah, that's one of the criteria. Once you get over there, it is important that you learn Chinese in order to function in their society.
Mm. All right.
But yes. And I like the fact that Brother Warren says he goes to Africa every year and he sees it for himself. So telling us, they're just telling us he has seen up hand. But Brother Warren, let me ask you this. You say your show is Wake Up New Orleans. So please.
No, it's called. Switch the words around. New Orleans, Wake Up.
Okay, New Orleans,
Wake Up. New Orleans, Wake Up. You can go on the blog talk and look at my archive shows.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your show.
My show has been on for several years now, and I usually would have guests. But what I've been doing lately this year and towards the latter part of last year, I've been focusing on the talking points that white conservatives often throw out. So, for example, I did a show called Yes, I Am a Victim, you know, because they always accuse us of playing a victim. And I did a show called, I call it Systemic Racism 101, a free course for white conservatives / racists. I do a lot of shows. Lately, I've been doing a lot of shows focusing on their talking points, but I have a array of shows with guests, informed guests, authors of books on different topics as relates to the African and African-American experience. So I have a very rich library of archive shows that people should take an opportunity to go listen to. But lately I've been honing in on these conservative talking points because I enjoy the challenge, which is really not much of a challenge dealing with them anyway, because a lot of those people are not well-read and they're just following talking points that they were handed.
Right. Mm. So what day are you on?
I don't have any particular days or schedule because, believe it or not, a lot of times these shows take a lot of energy out of you. So I might do a show and be tired for several days. Because what my shows generally are not conversations. It's I have a guest or I have a commentary. For example, I did do a show during COVID. You might want to go back. I had a little panel where we talked about the movie The Spook Who Sat by the Door. We analyzed that movie.
Right.
I did a show called Whitening Vaccine. If you had a chance to take a vaccine to make yourself white, would you do it? That was a panel.
Okay. I like that.
And so, yeah, just go through my show, and then you'll see a lot of repeat of the same titles. That's just rebroadcast if you see the repeat of the same titles.
Okay.
I did a show called a week ago called Tianki the King versus Tianki the Bitches. Black
right,
conservatives.
Right.
And I
right.
talked about the misappropriation of historic names some people do, and their character is not equal to a work, the original person with that name. And,
right.
You know, a lot of shows I have done that people listen to. And when I rebroadcast the shows, what I enjoy when I do a rebroadcast, I like to watch the computer screen and see who calls in thinking it's a live show or who tunes in to the chat box.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
appreciate.
Right. There's no set time at this point because a lot of time, you know, my schedule, I may change the date of doing my show. But I do appreciate the conversation y'all having, and we must be more informed about geopolitics. If that's what African Americans are negligent, what is happening in the world? What is really going on with Ukraine and Russia? And very few black people are understanding because we're victims of the propaganda from the corporate media we see in front of us every day.
If you listen to our show, you will notice that Brother Tony and I pretty much cover the world. We do. We cover the world. We cover the nation. And
yeah,
I have to give props to my brother because this show was his brainchild. I was asked to come along for the ride, and I'm grateful. Brother Tony.
Okay. You know, we sit back. We do our research. If we speak on it, we can talk about it. We just ain't out here, like you say, listening to some talking heads on TV and then jump on here and go, guess what I heard? Nah, player, we done researched it, we done checked it out, and if you try to come at it sideways, we're ready to go there with you because we can bag it up. And that's the whole thing, like you said. You have to understand what's going on in today's world. Don't just be concerned about your neighborhood. The world is bigger than your neighborhood. But, brother, I want to thank you for calling in.
I'm going to continue to listen. I'm going to listen on the computer because I'm actually in here cooking.
Right, I understand that part.
Don't
hey,
you
hey, y'all have a family event, and I'm mad because I ain't there because if I was there, I'd be coming by trying to get a plate because I know how it go down in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'll continue to listen.
All right, brother.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, see, Sister Reed, that is the very thing that you and I talk about.
Yes, we
and
do.
And I want to thank Brother Warren. I want to thank Brother Warren for calling in, putting us up on his show. But not only that, the way he broke down what's going on internationally.
And you know what? I appreciate that because not that I was trying to project on the Chinese, but I know about their xenophobia. So I'm glad that he sort of explained it to me so that I can try to compartmentalize that. There's nothing that I want to take away from our African brothers and sisters. But Brother Tony, I was chuckling when he was describing his show because I know how you and I, but mostly you, decide like what we're going to talk about and the talking points, because if he listens to the archives of this show, he's going to see how we have broken down the GOP machine, how we pick apart their talking points and their people, and how we talk about these so-called black conservatives, you know, with their misguided honorary whitism. It's interesting. But it's good to know that people are listening to the show.
Yep. And I will take that 100% because that right there, you know, I'm really thankful for that brother because, again, he came in and he really did put us up on stuff that you know, people do overlook. And I'm glad that he mentioned the senator who is wanting to attack HBCUs and the way that they do work. I was talking with my cousin who works at FAMU, and she was saying that they had had a major meeting discussing about how they were going to approach this new affirmative action ruling and what they were going to do. And basically, with them, their business as usual.
Right. Right. You know what? It's going to be the predominantly white universities that this senator is going to be going after. Now, the HBCUs are going to be getting the fallout from people
I understand what Brother Warren was talking about, because one of the things is what he is doing is trying to go after the funding and the scholarships that HBCUs get. And he's going to try to use the fact. Yeah, he's going to try to use the fact that, well, you know, they're predominantly black, so, you know, it's strictly about race, even though you and I both know that it's not. How can it be strictly about race when you and yours decided you don't want to go to school with us?
Mm-hmm.
We had to build HBCUs in order for us to get a higher education. And now yours, who feel like they can't make it on a certain level or they don't want to go to Tumwater U, done decided, well, you know what? I can go to Howard. I can go to Jackson State. I can go to PV. I can go to TSU. You know, I can go to Warren. And so those white kids come over. Those Hispanic kids come over. Those foreign kids come over.
Right. Right. I'm trying to figure out how people are going to structure those legacy admission lawsuits, because that's what I want. We have got to start fighting tooth and nail just as hard as these racists do. And that's one of the things. But you're absolutely right, though, Brother Tony, about the scholarship situation at the HBCUs. And, you know, that's one of the things about black folks is that you were talking about this Tuesday, how welcoming we usually are with everybody. You know, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but sometimes we do pay the cost for that.
But, yeah, but see, you know, we have always been, as a people, you know, we just like the Native American. We will take in those that feel like they've been, you know, outcast.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. For the most part, when white students show up at HBCU, it's because I couldn't get into that legacy school that mommy and daddy wanted me to get into. And I didn't want to go to Tumbleweed, and I didn't want to go to Tumbleweed Tech, and I didn't want to go to a city college. But I heard good things about this school here, and it's in the state, and they're welcoming me with open arms.
Right.
And I'm just going to be honest with you. The average white person that goes to a HBCU comes out of there like, wow, I didn't know it was going to be like that.
Well, no, because they have preconceived notions. Yeah.
They have. Now, as quiet as it's kept, they get in there. They get into the culture. They want to join frats and sororities and student body clubs. They want to get in where they fit in. As you know, Jackson State's drum major was a Hispanic brother who grew up. He said he grew up two blocks from there because his family had immigrated to Jackson, Mississippi. And he said he always wanted to be the drum major there. He said when he went through high school and watched that band marching through the neighborhood practicing, he set his sights on going to Jackson to be a drum major. And lo and behold, that's what happened for him. And I can still see the interview Michael Strahan did with him on Good Morning America and had his family there and everything. And I'm telling you, you know, not only was the band proud of him, his parents and brothers was proud of him, but the look on his face was like, man, I made it. Just like one of ours. Because basically, he is one of ours.
And that's how the world should be. And it's not that way, but that's the way that it should be, especially when it comes to young people. And, you know, it's so to me, Brother Tony, it's terrible because young people start out, you know, with being welcoming and inclusive to everybody. And this young man went all the way through college feeling that way, you know, from being a child. But at some point, you know, somebody teaches them how to be hateful and what they have to do to survive. And it's unfortunate that it has to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way, but somehow down the way, it's economically better for some people, and I'm talking about white people, to make a difference between us. And that is how capitalism in this country is set up. Whenever we build up something like Black Wall Street in the 20s and 30s, somehow it gets torn down and destroyed. The same with the black townships in Central California where we live. Same thing.
They come tear it down because of spitefulness and greed. The thing about Black Wall Street was you had several banks, you had several schools, you had several hospitals, a bus system, a railway system, several stores. They were making money. And the white folks were jealous because they weren't as successful.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And we see something similar happen right here in West Fresno that's being gentrified to the hilt, and historic West Fresno is being totally wiped out. And we talk about this quite a bit on this show, how the industrial businesses in West Fresno that we grew up with, the stench from the slaughterhouses and, you know, the environmental racism and all these things, the dumps, the landfills, all these things. And now we were redlined into this area, and now they want to even take that. The power to take that. They want to reindustrialize our area. So we have work to do, people. I implore you people who are listening, if you live, wherever you live in the world, read up on West Fresno and how 93706 zip code is one of the poorest areas in the entire country. We're like ground zero for poverty, and they want to keep it that way.
Yeah, exactly. And that is by design. And if you are listening, 563-999-3043 is your call-in number. And, you know, you brought up redlining, and I'm going to tell you, they started this destroying, and I'm just going to call it what it is, the destroying of businesses and functioning things in West Fresno, as you know, in the as soon as we start putting them up. And for those of you who think that redlining does no longer exist, the devil is a lie. Because right now, the Department of Justice has fined a bank in Los Angeles for a $31 million lawsuit, which they must pay for the largest redlining settlement in department history because they were refusing to underwrite mortgages to predominantly Black and Latino communities, and that the bank was City National. And that has been going on since 2017 up until 2022.
See?
So don't buy into this, well, you know, things got better after, you know, the 70s. No, they did not.
Mm-hmm.
And like Mr. Reed just said, that zip code that I love so much, 93706, constantly gets screwed over, not only by what happened in the past, but what's happening right now with our city council. Instead of trying to make it better, they try to do underhand damage to it. That plain and simple.
That's true.
You know, like I said, Miguel Arias, who is supposed to be the city council member, is quick to scream Well, we spent millions over here. You spent millions doing what? Okay, you're building this satellite city campus for the college, but on the other hand, you're destroying homes, you're taking out roads, and you throw up a Starbucks and tell us to be happy because you give us a piss-poor coffee shop.
Yes.
When we need a grocery store, a drug store, a theater,
a movie theater. Yes. Say it.
Because I think the people working there will not be people from the community.
No. And they're definitely trying to get rid of the older folks in our community. You know why? You know, they're building that satellite city college and the Starbucks. They're also getting ready for the influx of people who are coming from outside the valley when they build this high-speed rail train that's going to be coming through here. These people are going to need some place to live. And I know for a fact that the house that I grew up in, where I live now, we've been getting notices, letters, and postcards for years, people wanting to buy this house sight unseen so that they can restore and flip it. I mean,
exactly. They've been hitting people like that. And pastors like Griner, I'm just going to say it. Pastor Griner ought to be ashamed of himself. You out there being the tap dancing coon, being the face smiling for Jerry Dyer, you know, because you done sold out and, you know, you're getting this center built over at your church, but you won't walk up the street to help them drug addicted folks in your neighborhood. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You should.
He's not the only one that sold Juneteenth was one cultural holiday that we could celebrate here. That's been taken out of our neighborhood and put downtown and up to North Fresno. And why? Because somebody sold out trying to make it more appetizing and enticing for white people and took it out of our neighborhood for no good reason.
Exactly. They let you raise a flag and sign a proclamation and put your name on it, and you grinning ear to ear and don't know any better. The sold out. Thinking that you, at least I made it, you pulled the Clarence Thomas. Well, look here. Let me pull the ladder up, and I got it made.
Yeah. That is true. And it's like Brother Warren said, you know, we have got to, and like you say all the time, Brother Tony, all the time, we need to stick together and have some unity. Stop trying to cozy up to these white folks. They don't care about you. They're using you. And that's it.
I'm going to just tell you what E-40 said. They'll have a new next year. And you know what word to use. They'll have a new one next year. You may be the flavor of the month this year, but next year, they'll have a new flavor.
That's right. And it's interesting, listeners, because there are not that many black people in Fresno, Metro and Fresno County. There's really not that many of us here, numerically, percentage-wise. And the things that we have been able to accomplish, that our parents and our grandparents were able to accomplish, is all being wiped out. And I hear very few people say, Brother Tony, myself, and a few other black progressives saying a mumbling word about this. You know, they're telling us, oh, well, you know, we've accomplished a lot. Really? You know, black progressives have been carrying water for these folks for a long time. And then they turn around and stab us in the back. So,
man, they do it all the time.
Say it. I'm about to lose my spit here about this, Brother Tony, but you're going to have to take it because I'm getting mad
now. But you know what? But that's the thing. You know, so just sit it down for a minute because I'm getting ready to go on a roll.
Gone.
Let's just keep it real. Here we are, July 6th. It is what? 8:50 p.m. Show started at 8 o'clock, and I love the fact that Brother Warren called in. But where is my local folks? Where is my local black folks? It ain't like y'all don't know this show go on because I post it, not only on Facebook, on Twitter, and a few other places. I give you a link to join the show. I give you the call-in number to join the show. But I know what a lot of y'all do. A lot of y'all sit back and go, man, I don't do it because they doing too much over there. They start to get noticed. People paying attention to them. Or they not really talking about nothing. They just over there barking and making noise.
Nah.
But yet, let them folks call you. Let them pale folks call you. Y'all tap on out there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right away, sir. Y'all killing me because you quick to sell out. You see a few coins and you get happy. They throw you a few coins in the collection plate, you get happy. And I'm just not talking about pastors because I know they're not the only ones. There's some of you who work in the school district, who work in the police force, who work in professional avenues, who work in industry, who have a voice, who can help make change. But you don't. Why?
Because
somebody told you not to. And you're sitting there bowing your head. Yes, boss.
You know, Brother Tony.
You look at brothers like me.
You
look at brothers like me, and the first thing out your mouth is, man, why you always speaking on something? Why you always making noise? You going to make it rough on the rest of us. Oh, well, get in where you fit in.
That's right. That's right. Well, what is it you always say, Brother Tony? Hit dogs holler.
Hit dog holler.
We must be talking about something that hits the wrong people, that they feel that they have to say something like that. Oh, I've had people tell me to, oh, well, you know, just go out there and protest it, Aline, because, you know, that's what you're good at. Really? You damn Skippy. I'm going to get out there and protest, and I will keep saying something until the day I die about my own people. I will never stop fighting. And I will tell anybody who listens this, I'm tired of Mark, tired
exactly.
of all these shuffling Negroes. What did your great uncles call them, Brother Tony, chest Negroes with their head on their chest?
Negroes.
Yeah, I'm tired of that. It's time for
you know,
us
but the
to
thing is,
and get ready for
and
the
it is really sad. For example, this Saturday on the 8th, you have a section of Freedom School going on.
That's right.
Now,
the Freedom School.
I know for a fact there are a lot of black young people on the west side. This is open to the public. All you got to do is show up with your child, get them registered, where they can come learn something. But yet, y'all will sit at home, and the first thing out your mouth is, ain't nobody doing nothing for the kids. But the bottom line is, you ain't getting up off your sorry butt to find out if somebody's doing something for the kids.
Exactly.
See, it's easier for y'all to talk noise and point fingers than to find out if something is really going on.
Brother Tony knows because he's been working with Fresno Freedom School for years now. Been there for years. So he knows what he's talking about, and so do I. There's no more excuses. Get up, bring your kids, get them registered, and, hey, teach them how to plant something. Teach them how to grow their own food. We have classes about nutrition and food preparation. Friendly. I mean, this is something that's going to benefit the entire family, and it's free. Now, just last week, Brother Tony, I think it was somebody told us, well, you know, we need to start charging because maybe people will respect it more if they have to pay for it. But that's not part of our mission. We're trying to make it as open and accessible to the kids and their families as we can make it. And you can't get better than free.
Exactly.
You know, you
can't
get better than free. All they have to do is drop the kids off and then pick them up. And in years past, we've even done that. We picked up the kids and dropped them back off at home. And there's no more excuses, black people. We love you, but come on now.
And you can't do no better than that. But see, that's the curse of West Fresno. You know, Somebody put it right there for you, and you still too lazy to reach out for it.
See?
We're going to get up off of West Falls. We're going to get up off of the 93706, and hopefully, you know, people will start doing what they're supposed to. Now, Sister Reed, I don't know what you've been doing today. I don't know how you've been functioning, but, you know, we're going to get into what we do.
Yes.
So the Freedom Caucus voted out Marjorie Taylor Greene today.
I missed it. And I was listening to the
Freedom Caucus voted
about
out
Trump all
Marjorie Taylor Three Toes Greene. How do you get voted out of your ultra-conservative group when you're the biggest idiot in it?
I love it. Okay, so who did she offend? I know she was fighting with Lauren Boebert last week.
Yeah. Her and Lauren Boebert, you know, they have been fighting and going back and forth like two little chihuahuas trapped in a cage. And the Freedom Caucus chairman, Scott Kelly, who is from Pennsylvania, you know, he claimed that him and Greenham had multiple conversations. And, you know, the other side of the coin is they don't know if she really understands that she's been given the boot yet. But, you know, they took a vote 2 weeks ago and said she out. And one of the big things was her multiple infractions between her and the queen of the GED, Lauren Boebert. Who they have said is still a member in good standing. So,
Green, better take a few days to process that, though. She's not very bright.
You know, a lot of people don't like the fact, in the group, a lot of people don't like the fact that she has been standing with Speaker Kevin McCarthy because the Freedom Caucus, of course, really is trying to find a way to take power from him, but yet she has been in his corner and a few others, and, you know, it's like everything else with white America. You know, they can fight in the Republican Party like they are super duper crazy. It's always something.
Well, how many votes did it take for McCarthy to get that speakership? See, was it 15 or 16 votes that had
about
to be 15, taken?
17 votes.
Yeah. So that shows you right there that he did not have, you know, there was no consensus about his speakership. So if she had any sense at all, she wouldn't be hanging out with him. But obviously, like I say, Marjorie Taylor Greene is not very bright. So how are you going to get kicked out of your own base? That's pretty rough.
Well, you know what? Let's think about it. You know, I always say Republicans cannot govern. And when you cannot govern, you do stupid stuff. And that is exactly what they have been doing. Think about it. Now, they are holding power in the House, and instead of them sitting down, really trying to come up with some things to help the country, what are they spending their time doing? We're going to investigate Joe Biden and Hunter Biden's laptop. We're going to go back and investigate President Obama and the way he was doing business with China. See, when you can't govern, do stupid stuff.
You do stupid stuff. Yes, indeed. Well, you know what? This is a great opportunity, I think, Brother Tony, because you know how we're always talking about people getting registered to vote and then voting? This House of Representatives should mobilize the country to get registered and then to vote. And I mean to vote from dog catcher all the way up to president. And I'm urging people to vote blue. I know what Brother Warren said, but I don't think a third party is going to be able to crack this right now, despite Cornel West running on the Green Party. we need to, we're going to have to change. We're going to have to do this groundwork, the same kind of groundwork that was done in the 60s. People going to have to get out there and register to vote. What is it you always say, Brother Tony, about that? Your vote is your voice.
And the thing is this. People can say what they want about the Democratic Party, and the bottom line is, if you're black in America, the Democratic Party is the lesser of two evils. And, you know, they're not perfect, but they're not the Republicans.
Republicans are right now.
I believe a third party would actually do more damage to the country than good. Because I believe what would happen with a third party is that you would actually, if they were to win, you get somebody in the White House who would go totally off script and do some and just put some policies out there that would lead us to a place that we would never recover from. Because in all honesty, the presidency of 45 did that. There are some things that we are still, that's going to take us years to recover from. And one of them is getting the court system back to being decent.
Right. That was the one successful thing, and I'm saying successful in quotes, of course, that 45 did was to stuff the federal courts and to stuff the Supreme Court. And we see what's happening now, that the Supreme Court is legislating from the bench, which is not their job. That's not their
job. Right. And you say it was successful, but that's not – being destructive is not success. That's just being destructive.
That's why I put it in quotes, because for the GOP – that was a success. For us, it's a form of destruction. And we all knew that 45 was not going to be able to govern and be commander-in-chief, but he also understood that, you know, his handlers understood that he was going to stuff those federal courts. And it's true. They have.
Exactly. Now, you just told the truth. He didn't stuff the Supreme Court. He didn't stuff the courts. His handlers stuffed court. He didn't have sense enough to do it.
But they had
sense enough to use him to do it. And that's what happened.
Exactly. They've been waiting on this kind of opportunity for a long time. And so they, you know, saw him as an opportunity. This is why this country is in chaos. I mean, think about it, Brother Tony. And listeners, think about this. The GOP top front runner nominee for president, it has two federal indictments going. And
he got 37 counts.
Okay.
The man has 37 counts against him. 37.
This is their top guy. This is their top nominee.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just getting ready to ask you. Ron DeSantis was on Fox today, and they asked him straight up, you know, why he not connecting with voters. You can't connect with voters when you're an idiot. And, of course, his little funny-looking wife, Casey has a group started called Moms for DeSantis, where we're going to protect the kids of the nation. Excuse me, we already got Moms for Liberty. We don't need your little racist country group from Florida.
Well, maybe they'll all merge together and have a big old hee-haw cookout that, you know, and they can sit in a fire and compare notes. But this brings out the worst in these folks. DeSantis is trailing by 20 points in the polls. And he's the closest that's going to get to 45. Brother Tony, I have had my mouth open to shake. I'm telling you, I've been shaking my head all day. This country, these people are crazy. This is chaos. This is not how democracy is supposed to work. And, you know, and this, it's funny we're talking about this because during this week of the 4th of July, when people want to talk about freedom and democracy, democracy is one of those things. I remember writing a paper in my first year at Hastings, and I remember one line of this paper saying that friction is the foodstuff of liberty. And it really is. If you want a democracy, you got to be willing to fight for it. And who knows better about fighting for democracy than black folks? I'm just saying. Because we've always
That's because we've always had to fight for everything that we get. I don't care if it was freedom. I don't care if it was an extra drink of water. I don't care if it was an extra piece of fat back. We've always had to fight. That's right and simple.
Exactly.
And here we are in 2023, and we're still having to go through changes because not only do you have people like the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina and Tim Scott and Armstrong Williams and Larry Elder, not only do you have them tap dancing coons, you have folks who think if we don't worship white people, and I'm going to say it again, if we don't worship white people, we not going to make it. We have to give in to the way they think about things. Are you kidding me?
Never happen. Never happen for some of us. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. They need to go back and look at history. And I tell you, Brother Tony, if it was not for groups like the Black Panthers, if it was not for groups like in the South, Deacons for Defense, if it was not for those brothers and sisters who stood up and said, we're not taking this anymore, none of us will be here now. None of us.
Exactly.
Including them dancing coons.
You are absolutely right about that. And the killing part is the more that we try to get folks to listen, pay attention, they look at us like, why they over there stirring up stuff? We're just trying to keep you on track. Let's talk about God, and this just, you know, people always say we only do it one way, so hey, let's talk about it. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Wow.
Who has said he is going to challenge President Biden for the nomination for the Democrats. Now, I don't care what nobody say, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is nothing like his father.
No.
This cat is an agent of chaos, and he is working for the GOP.
Yes.
Any man that promotes a conspiracy theory that the coronavirus was developed to control people through microchips got a problem. He says that antidepressants are linked to school shootings. You know, he is this cat.
Right.
You
there
know,
needs to be some sort of mental wellness test done on him because he's definitely got issues.
You know, there are people who will go out of their way to spread falsehoods. And the thing about kicking it with the GOP is once they put that money in your hand, they expect you to act a certain kind of way, to be a certain kind of fool.
It never
shocks me. You can always find someone to do it.
Isn't that the truth? I know some people are shocked by his, you know, last name, and they expect him to behave a certain way. But he has totally gone off script And I know that that's not the assignment that his family would want him to be about, but nobody seems to be pulling his coattails, and that's unfortunate.
Well, the thing is, he has cut ties. Remember, we into what, like the second or third generation of Kennedys?
Yes.
And
yes,
they have really cut ties with him. He's a Kennedy by name only. He is not part of that, what I would call the Camelot era family,
mm-hmm.
because he went out of the way to mess that up.
Wow. That's really unfortunate. And you know what is even more unfortunate, Brother Tony, is the fact that given his last name, he is going to get instant recognition, and people are gonna listen. And once they listen for maybe 5 minutes, they're gonna see this boy is crazy. He is absolutely crazy. But and it's, to me, this is a problem with America about entertainment. He's entertaining. There's going to be a lot of stories written about him. It's like the Kardashians, you know, whoever, you know, tickles the fancy of the people for entertainment value, they're going to watch. And unfortunately, people are going to be listening to this man just because his last name is Kennedy.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you out there spreading falsehoods, you know, for me, that just makes you get, I have nothing to do with you, because
mm-hmm.
life is bad enough around here, and we don't need that extra mad.
Exactly. You know, and I have to say, quite honestly, it's not that I want to put all my hopes on Biden. I mean, given his age and given his political history as well, I'm not blind to that. But I'm really hoping that the Democrats are going to put out some people who are intelligent, who are energetic, who are bringing some fresh ideas. I can think of a lot of people I would like to see out there running, but I know it's not going to happen. People like Hakeem Jeffries. Now, that brother has got some wheels. He got some political wheels on him. He could go the
district. Okay, but let me be real honest right now up front. That Barack Obama era, that's going to take several more years to come back. And I understand what you're saying about Hakeem Jeffries, but I know the country that I live in, because I've served in the military. I've been around this country. I've lived in different parts of this country. I ain't always been in one area. It's going to take a minute to come back.
Even though I haven't lived all the places that you live, I do. I have read extensively. I, you know, we do that.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is, it always comes back when America is at its most needy, and you know, I'm not going, you know, I understand Joe Biden made some big time mistakes, but I can give Joe Biden credit for trying to correct a lot of the damage that he did, because at one time, like most white politicians, he didn't know better. He really didn't know better. And he fell into that trap that they all fall into. But one of the best things happened to him was being Barack Obama's vice president.
Well, yeah,
that was the best thing happened to Joe Biden, because even at his age, it opened his eyes. And I can tell you now, that's why his presidency functions the way it does, because he had an eye-opener under Obama. And they still talk. You know, even though, you know, people can say what they want, Joe Biden ain't missing a step. He might be older. Might take him a little longer to get certain things done, but he is not missing a step.
Well, frankly, you know, it's good for all Dems to back our front runner. I mean, he's our guy. You know, he's the incumbent. And, yeah, if there's nobody else out there that's going to challenge him and has a chance to get in. But I'm not 100% Joe. I'm just going to say that straight up. And but, you know, he's the best we've got right now. So, yeah, I would support him on the ticket. I have no problem with that.
Like I said earlier, the Democratic Party is the lesser of two evils. You know, no one is 100%, but the trip is Joe Biden, 45, Joe Biden. I'm a roll with Joe Biden because I saw what 45 did for us. Even though he loves to spit this narrative about Black America did their best up under me, I did so much for Black America.
Well, what did
yes,
he
every
have
time
to
you turn around. Yes, every
Black
time you turn around. Out of his mouth, he's disparaging Black America.
Well, and so now we know that he had to lose. Because that's what he said from the beginning. 45 said, what do you have to lose by voting for him?
Exactly. And I can tell you now, should 45, by some hook or crook, get back in, Black America is doomed. I'm just going to tell you truthfully.
Well, we know that. We know that what Tony, this is one of the reasons why we're saying all the time on this show, be ready so you don't have to get ready. Because it could be very well be the second Civil War if that happens. And everybody who knows me knows I am not about violence. I am not about gunfire. I'm not about hurting and killing people. I love all people. I really
but
do.
See,
cool. I could be cool with you.
Let me just hit you with something. It ain't even got to get that deep because the way SCOTUS is doing things now, you may wake up tomorrow and they decide the only people that can go to the grocery store are white people and those who march under our flag. Black people are not allowed to shop in XYZ grocery stores. The only people that can get health care, the only people that can get health care is white America. X, Y, and Z cannot get it. And Black people won't get it because, well, we've given them so much and they didn't do anything with it. See, this is how you got to look at things. No, Joe Biden is not perfect. And I never said he was. But the bottom line is, like I said, the lesser of two evils, I'll roll with that.
Listen, you know what? I'm gonna tell you something, and this is for all the listeners who are listening. When Black people were listening to folks like Marcus Garvey, when he said, let's go back to Africa, the brother knew what he was talking about because he had seen the future and knew it was going to be difficult. And lo and behold, here we are, 2023, still talking about the same stuff. And I know that there are other groups of colors, so-called minorities, who have said this. Here's my question for everybody, all the listeners, everybody. What would happen if every Black person in America packed up and left and then go home to Africa? Africa's a big continent. We'll take all of our doctors, all of our lawyers, all of our dentists, all of our school teachers, all of our farmers, everybody, all of our social workers, all of our children, and we left.
You know what's going to happen? Let me tell you what will happen. What will happen is the same thing that happened to Blacks that roll up into Europe. It would be cool for us to come back, and they always say, please come back home. But what's going to happen is we're going to come back home under a cloud. Because it'll be like this. Those are those American Blacks. They weren't born here.
So it's a culture
don't
thing.
Don't let me finish. Don't think that we would go home and it would be like, it'll be just like Blacks that migrated to London, England, and Blacks that migrated to Germany. When I was serving in the military, I saw a lot of Sudanese and different folks from different countries in Africa coming to Germany and France. And things were cool in the beginning. But then all of a sudden, when we start getting jobs, all of a sudden there was a problem. It's just like here with white folks and Hispanics. They're taking our jobs. See, it'll be cool, but we will have some growing pains. I think we'll be welcome, but still, we'll have some growing pains. And let's just be honest about it.
I would rather be discriminated by Africans than by neocolonial imperialist white people.
And Liberia
was established by black people. So we do have a base to start with.
I know the history of Liberia. But listen, I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. Let's not take a picture like we'll roll back and everything will be perfect because you know it won't. But the trip is, you know, we have to be honest about everything we do. No, it's not perfect in America. It hasn't been perfect since we got here. But this is where we are. We know what the Republican Party is going to do. We know what the Democratic Party is going to do. Neither one is perfect. But again, you deal with the lesser of two evils.
That's
just the thing of being in America.
Yeah, that's our story of living here. But I'm just saying, you know, it puts me when I made that statement about Gandhi, it puts me in mind of that movie, and I can't remember the Latino who made the movie, A Day Without a Mexican, and this was based in Los Angeles. What if there were no more Mexicans to do the work that y'all don't want to do? What would happen to your L.A. economy, to all the people who are cleaning the hotels and working at the fast food places and being babysitters to your children? What would happen then? Same thing, you know?
It's funny you say that because that's what's happening in Florida right now.
Exactly.
Are you still paying attention to what's happening in Florida? Ain't nobody out there picking them crops. And DeSantis people actually got the nerve to be making statements and getting in the news telling the Hispanics that are leaving, please come back. Please.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you passing laws to harass them.
Well, that's the height. That's the height of white supremacy and white privilege. You think you can have it both ways? Not true
whatsoever.
People getting tired, and that's one of the reasons why I like doing this show, because we can be ourselves on this show. We can talk about stuff that even black people don't want to talk about. You know, we can talk about these things that are important because it's going to get real, as you said, it's going to get real serious real quick, and it already is. This thing, I knew when SCOTUS, you know, overturned Roe versus Wade, that was the beginning of the end for individual rights in this country. And so people better wake up and understand that if nothing is promised. You know, if they can do all the things that they're doing, who knows what's going to be next? We could all be in concentration camps. And that's just the truth.
I can tell you now that they are sitting back going, well, we got away with this. We got away with this. What can we attack next?
This is true. So people better pick a side. They better pick a side and get ready to fight.
One of the other things I look at is how, you know, some people right now are on this kick about, you know, if only Clarence Thomas would do this, if only Clarence Thomas would do that. Clarence Thomas ain't the only cat on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's the only black man on the Supreme Court. but he ain't the only man making decisions. And a lot of times, even though we know he's an ass, a lot of times there are other folks that he just go along with. Why?
Well,
because that's just the vein he is in. He has decided, I'm just going to be evil like them.
Well, he's an honorary white person. Clarence Thomas, the self-loathing that he has, is, I mean, I can smell it all the way from Washington, and I'm over here on the West Coast. I can smell him all the way from Washington, that self-loathing. And so, you know, yeah, that means that the rest of us are in for it because he hates himself, and so he definitely hates the rest of us. And he proves it all the time.
Now, I'm going to bring this up.
All right.
I'm
going
to bring this up. Remember when the Obama administration made those agencies, like the ones who deal with clean air, clean water, when they really built them up and then Donald Trump came along and started cutting funding?
Yep, I still do.
Well, today we found out from a study that drinking water from half of the U.S. faucets contain potentially harmful chemicals.
Mm.
Half of the drinking water in the United States contain forever chemicals that cause cancer and other health problems. Synthetic compounds known as PFASs are contaminating drinking waters, particularly in large cities and small towns and private wells and in the public system, says the U.S. Geological Survey System.
Wow. Well,
that comes from 45 cutting back those programs and those agencies that were working to keep this stuff clean, so that people he knew and big pharma and big business and all these other cats that he was taking donations from could run out there and do what they wanted to do.
Exactly. Exactly. It's chaos. It's pandemonium. And we're still, I don't know when we're going to get past all of this because they're destroying the earth and they're killing the people. And they think that that's okay. Why? Because they're making a profit off of it.
Exactly.
We're going in the wrong direction, folks. Going in the wrong direction.
Anytime
people care about you
losing your right to being equal, that's sad. What is it about this country that they just so hung up with, I'm in charge, and I don't want nobody standing on the same pedal that I'm on? I don't get it.
Which is what democracy is supposed to be about. One man, one woman, one vote. And we're all supposed to be treated equal. And we all know that that was alive when the founding fathers first spoke it. But the idea, you see, the idea of freedom and liberty is so strong that we can make it a reality if we work at it. And that's the honest to God truth. I believe that. And I am not such an optimist, such a Pollyanna that I don't know the struggles. But I believe in black people in this country. I believe that we have put in the work and that we deserve everything that we have coming to us when it comes to civil rights and human rights. So, I want that for everybody. I want a great America for everybody to be treated equally.
We can believe in black folks all day long, but the problem is people have constantly worked against us. And like Brother Moore said earlier, we get caught up in talking about the first this, the first black this, the first black that. Every stride we've made, they have sat back and said, okay, let's find a way to cut the legs out from under that. And you know that every time that we've gotten black folks into Congress, black folks in the House of Representatives, they automatically get attacked. Like you good at saying, President Obama was in the White House. But unfortunately, the Senate and the House were Republican at the time, and they fought him every step of the way. And the few things that he did do, people were still whining about, saying he ain't doing enough, not realizing that Congress was cutting the legs out from under him, because whether people realize it or not, the president is not all-powerful and not all-seeing. We have three branches of government.
Yep.
Three branches of government.
That's right. Say
and whether y'all realize it or not, the Senate and the House holds most of the power.
See?
I guess I'm going to have to put, you know, I'm just a bill out there again. Because some of y'all really not understanding how this works.
Please put it out there, Brother Tony, because it's wonderful and educational.
You know, some of y'all really are not getting it. And that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of y'all, you know, you talk a lot of drag, but you're not paying attention to what's really going on.
Exactly.
The president can only do what Congress allows him to do.
And believe me, we're suffering the backlash, Brother Tony. And you've talked about we're suffering the backlash from Obama's 8 years in the White House right now. That's how we got 45. People are so appalled by Obama's presidency that they went the opposite way and elected a fool.
You know, let me just be honest. They didn't want to vote for a woman, and I don't care that her last name was Clinton, and I don't – Bill was president. What Bill did. But here's the bottom line. They didn't want to vote for a woman for president when the majority of them, black, white, pink, and purple, are living in households that are ran by women, directed by women, controlled by women, functioning because there is a woman at the head.
Come on.
And everything is staying afloat. But yet, y'all wasn't smart enough to vote for a woman to run the country.
Huh.
Let's just keep it real. So, yeah, America, we're going to have to get it together and stop being stupid.
We got
some
work
to do. You're going to have to get past dealing with folks based on race. You're going to have to get past dealing with folks based on the content of their character. You're going to have to start dealing with people as people. When folks show you what they are, believe them. You know, that's just common sense. If they show you they're an asshole, that's how you deal with them. They show you they're decent, that's how you deal with them. Let's just keep it real.
I agree. And the time to do that is now, because we got 2024.
And the time to do that now. You have got to stop with this pie in the sky stuff, because that ain't happening. That ain't happening. You know, I'm going to just be honest. I keep it real, and I'm not going to buy into silly stuff. And I don't mind telling somebody black they wrong. I don't mind telling somebody white they wrong. And I don't mind giving accolades when you do the right thing. That's just how I operate. But that's me. Like I say, the Democratic Party ain't perfect, but I know what it's done for me so far. I know what the Republican Party has done to me so far. I'm just keeping it real.
Well, we better all start going in the same direction. I'm telling y'all, because it's going to get funky for a lot of us. Already has.
You know,
and continue
people
to get
out there,
worse.
You know, my favorite group is always those folks who get out there and holler, well, yeah, they're going to join with us. And then when it don't happen, it's like, I don't understand what happened. What happened is they looking out for their own selves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just real talk.
And
so,
that's what black folks need to do. We better start looking out for our own.
I'm going to need y'all to pick up a book. I'm going to need y'all to start paying attention to what's going on in the world. And y'all really need to start studying and paying attention to what's happening in your communities. I really appreciate Brother Warren calling tonight, because I know for a fact Brother Warren, he lives in New Orleans, Louisiana, an area that has definitely caught it at one time or another, not only what happens to them during hurricane season, what happened with them with the flooding when the bayous that they claim the levees broke, but we know that the levees were sabotaged, and that'll be a whole nother thing we talk about.
Right.
But we know what's been done to black folks here in America. And for those of us who black, and I am, I see it for what it is. Yes, we have folks out there who will swear up and down they on our side. But like I always say, everybody black until the police come. Then they don't want to know you.
Mm.
Brothers and sisters, let's pull ourselves together. Let's stop with the infighting. Stop selling your soul. And let's start working together. Don't let people like Brother Fred Hampton, Brother George Jackson, Brother Huey Newton, don't let them have died in vain.
Amen. Amen.
It's time to put it together.
Yes. Yes.
Sister Reed, say what you're going to say and then shut it down.
All right. Well, y'all know what I'm going to say. This is about a mindset. And I implore you. I implore you to stay black. Stay black till we get back with you. Brother Tony.
Like I always say, each one reach one, teach one. Those of you who are proficient with your arms, hear me now. Take your folks to the range. Get them trained up because the storm is coming. Get them certified. Start you a organization. We need some militia. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. The sky is getting dark. And I know there's a lot of folks out there. I don't know why y'all talk like that. Well, we're being honest. Honesty is the best policy. We're being honest. It's not going to be easy for us. It never has been easy for us. Our ancestors went through hell. Hell, we going through hell. Let's just keep it real. Time for us to honestly fight back. Like Sister Reed said earlier, it is time out for singing. Time to start swinging. Time for us to get in this fight for real. Everybody stay tight. Take care of your people. Love one another. Work with one another. Let's get it done. We will definitely check in with y'all next week. We're going to holler.